This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, the Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/stringchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/stringchicks. masterclass.com/stringchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. On this week's episode of Shrink Chicks, we have one of my favorite people. And it's so funny because this show, I feel like, is such a mixture of like professionals and famous authors and then just like people we think are fucking awesome.
Wow.
Right? That do not get maybe the airtime. But what we love is real stories, real lived experiences, because honestly, that matters often way fucking more than what you read in a textbook. So here today is my very dear friend, Tara. I will say Tara saved my eyebrows about 7 years ago when she first started doing my eyebrows. We from then became good friends, but you have a really interesting story that's happened. So Tara, thank you for coming to the show, babes.
Wow. Thank you for having me. I'm like, can I put you in my pocket? Be my hype girl or something?
Yes. That would probably be Jen and I's like ultimate dream job.
Is well, to just and be like hype good all the time. 100%. Well, people are always like, can you just like be in my ear? Like while I'm having this conversation with someone. And I'm like, 100%.
Yeah. Just do like little recordings that we can like play for ourselves. So when we're like, feeling down, we can, you know?
Yeah. Like those like mantras, except ours are just going to be like, our voices are not going to be the same.
But I feel like mantras are like soothing. Like you can do it. Mine would be like, you fucking got this. You're a badass bitch.
Yes. I need that. Thank you.
Just yeah, right. That's what actually.
Tell your guide to like, or whoever edits this.
When you edit this, if you could just pull that clip right there, and we're just going to put that out on social media for everyone to have.
Yep.
But Tara, you're here today where everyone's recording from home. It is a very snowy day in Pennsylvania. So we're getting comfy cozy here to have just a really interesting conversation about what it is like to own your own business, be an entrepreneur, and then get a diagnosis that changes your entire fucking life.
Yeah.
So Tara, tell us a little bit about what, for starters, like, let's go back, like, what's like the past like 6 years of your life been like? And then like, let's just talk about this year.
Oh, how long is this episode? No.
Long as you want.
I guess it was 22 years old. I don't know. I fell into eyebrows randomly. I'm originally from Lancaster. I moved out to Westchester because I think it was 19, I got a gig with QVC doing the hair and makeup for the show. And I was like, let's do this, like, you know, and decided finally to move out here to dedicate myself more to that. And in the midst of all of that was looking for a part-time job because it was very seasonal in the sense of like, you know, sometimes your shifts were heavier versus, you know, being lighter. So I knew I needed another job. So I think like looking back and when I tell my story, I think about it and I'm like, oh, this is when I should have known that I had this business mentality. It was, you know, to be 19, 20 years old and say, I need to get another job to benefit this job. So we had to provide our own makeup. So I was like, oh, I'll go to Ulta. You know, when I walked in there, they saw I had my license. So they were like, you know, we just lost our brow girl. Do you want to do eyebrows? And I was like, no, not really. I just, you know, want you know, that discount on the makeup. So, they eventually talked me into it. They're like, you know, it pays more, you get tips. And I'm like, great, I'll try it. Had someone there who was very, she helped me a lot in the sense of like being too honest sometimes, like, hey, you know, this is what you did wrong, this is what you did right. So, she helped me grow my clientele really quickly. And from there, unfortunately, I had to leave. Fast forward, working at a salon in Westchester, and once again started to realize, like, okay, wait, if I'm fixing or catching mistakes that my boss is making, like, how hard can this really be? So eventually went back to my house. You know, once I left Ulta, people started, I guess, like, Instagram and stuff started getting really, like, I don't know, popular, I guess. And people are reaching out, like, hey, where'd you go? Can we come to your house? And I'm like, what? Oh, you like me? Okay, yeah, sure. So prior to opening up the brow bar, I was doing brows out of my house, which is when I met Emily. And we were getting you, what, ready for your wedding?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's so weird. You know, and now you have like a child.
There was a very long recovery time. If you grew up in the 90s, there was a lot of work you had to do after the early 2000s where we did a lot of damage to our brows. So for many of us, it has taken us, you know, 5 to 10 years to fix our teenage mistakes. But yeah, but it's an interesting thing to think about is that like some of us are seriously born with an entrepreneurial business-minded spirits, right? That like, yeah, it's what I wanted to do. I don't always work well with others. I think as women, we're sometimes embarrassed to admit that. Like, I don't do well with like being like someone else being my boss. But like, yeah, I think it's the truth for a ton of us. And that doesn't make you a fucking bitch. That makes you like very independent and self-sufficient. Jen and I also didn't work well for others.
Yes. Well, I also think it's just, it's about knowing yourself, right? Like if you're in that environment and you're recognizing that that doesn't feel like a good fit for you, it's draining you, you know, 100%. That when you know yourself and you're able to say, okay, like it might be a better fit for me to work for myself. And it sounds like we all kind of have that.
Yeah, no, for real. And I think that sometimes, I think sometimes people are too scared to like step out and just be like, you know, pull the trigger. My dad was very adamant. Sob story, let's go into it. No, my parents were got divorced when I was in sixth grade, and my dad was very adamant to make sure to know that like you are never going to rely on a man. You are going to be self-sufficient if you're ever in a situation that, or a relationship for that matter, that you know you are stuck in because you can't financially get out. Like that's never going to be the case for you. And so I think that he was a little harder on me in the sense of like, you're going to know how to change a tire, you're going to know how to do these things, you're going to be self-sufficient. And so that was always in the back of my mind as well. So, you know, he was kind of the person that pushed me over the edge. I called him when working out of my house, and I was like, listen, Dad, like, you know, I left that salon with maybe 40 clients, and I'm like, you know, I'm gonna get in trouble. People are texting me being like, hey, you know, my friend referred me and I'm gonna come to your house, and I'm letting strangers just walk into my house. And I'm like, Dad, it's gonna take like secret state boards to, you know, be like, hey, I need an appointment, and come in and be like, can I have your license? Like, this is illegal. So I said, Dad, I really think I can do this. I think I should open up something. He's like, you really, really? Like, you know, I'm like, I ran numbers. I'm looking at places. I think I can do this. And finally, after the third place, we found where the location of the brow bar is now. And, I ended up, we flipped it in probably like 3 months or so. And I went from in like a 6 month period to, you know, 30, 40 clients to I was doing like 260 clients out of my home. And I was like, yeah, I think I can do this. Like, let's do it. So we did. And I opened in October of 2016. And it was just me. And I had like a freaking 6 week wait. And I'm like, oh God, I need like more people. And so that is that story.
Okay, so, wow. And then it's going great, right? So it's like this thing, you know, you work your fucking ass off. It's great.
Yeah, yeah.
And then 2020 hits.
The year we'll never forget. God damn.
So 2020, working on people's faces, right? So Jen and I were lucky enough to have careers that could easily be virtual.
Yeah.
You can't really do virtual brows.
No, you cannot.
It'd be great if you could.
You cannot. Hard. I know. I thought about that. I thought about that. I'm like, I wish I could make like, you know how they make like filters on Instagram and stuff. Like, I wish you could make a filter that gives like, you know, takes measurements of your face, gives you the perfect brow. And you're like, okay, so this is what it needs to look like. Cause sometimes people are like, they need to be where, and I'm like, sis, what have you done?
Or like a robot. Like if you could like control like robot hands.
Oh yeah.
I think Aaron. On this, like,
oh yes,
somehow control like robot hands through a
every like I'm sitting here with hands. with gloves on doing
yes
it. Oh yes. Yeah, wow
guys,
okay, yeah.
Entrepreneurial right. Over
we are here we are making moves.
No one steal our idea.
Sorry, so this is happening, but then you also started experiencing these medical symptoms earlier on, right? So like let's talk a little bit about medical stuff for you.
Okay, so I guess then so it was just so funny because coronavirus hit and you know, people are coming in, they're like, yeah, oh God, you hear what's going on in China and this and that. And they're like, this isn't going to happen here. And I'm like, you do realize like we're humans, they're humans, people travel, like this shit's going to, it's going to spread. Like we are no better than them and it's coming for us very quickly. So I guess it was... I decided actually before they announced the shutdown, I was like, you know, we're in people's faces. I don't feel comfortable. I'm going to take a stand as a salon and be like, you know, I'm not going to be 3 inches from someone's face knowing that we have no idea what's going on. So it was March 14th. I decided to make the call that we were going to close and I posted and I'm like, yeah, we're going to close for 2 weeks. Like no big deal guys. I'm just like, really gotta, you know, let's just do this 2 weeks. Which is so funny because now you look and you're like, oh, we're still saying the 2 week thing, but it's like this never has gotten better. So yeah, March 14th, and then we're closed for 104 days, opened up June 26th then, but during this time, I guess, so I was diagnosed May of 2020 with multiple sclerosis, and the number one thing I guess that causes attacks is stress. So between
which is great for a business owner.
Yeah you're like, okay,
let's have always a disease that causes right stress. You're
always
fucked.
Yeah, yep.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blueland products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blueland proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blueland is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packaged. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon. Or you can choose fragrance-free. Blueland has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
So, it was weird. It was Mother's Day. And I don't know, Emily, do you remember like me ever complaining about UTIs, or like the one time when I came back from Italy, like my feet were numb? Do you remember any
Yes,
of this?
Okay. I remember your feet, and you were like, oh, it's because I was wearing heels on cobblestone. I can't feel my feet. It's so weird.
I'm like, probably got a pinched nerve on the plane.
Yeah. And we're all
which is a good assumption. I mean, those cobblestones hurt.
Right? It was like an interesting connection. But there was a few different things that you had kind of minimized, which is like another thing I think we should talk about, which is in terms of like, often when we start to have symptoms of something, it's really easy for us to minimize it. And then for other people in our life, including medical professionals, to minimize it.
100%. And I think then on, you know.
Because when you went back, you found some other shit. Was like, oh, this was all MS.
Yeah. Looking back on it, it's like it was so obvious for years. And it was just constantly, you know, dismissed. And I think that it's not only hard, because like as a business owner, you know, you're constantly doing everything. And at this time, you know, even making doctor's appointments, you're like, well, wait, but my business hours are the same as your business hours. So now I have to take off in order to figure this out. And I'll just push it to the side. No big deal. Yeah. Numbness in my feet. Not a big deal. Like, what the heck? Mother's Day, I remember I was talking to my all right, all my viewers, going to be ex-husband, or, you know.
So then we also added a divorce during that. So pandemic, a divorce, and now a life-altering.
I know, divorce. And I think that's why I was so nervous about this episode, because, like, I feel like it's one of those things that you don't want to, like, announce, but also, like, clients come in, and you do, you get close with them, and I share my life on Instagram, and there's certain things I don't share, and it gets to a point where it's like, well, kind of got to share, because now it's awkward when you're coming in asking about my husband. I'm like, I don't know, I haven't talked to him because we're not married, like, you know what I mean? So that's why I was kind of nervous about the episode, because I feel like, you know, if my clientele and followers do listen to this, so here you go. But now looking back, I guess the pandemic and closing between that and my marital issues was enough stress to induce a very severe attack. So I had numbness that started in my feet on Mother's Day. And by what comes after Mother's Day? Is it Memorial, right?
Yes.
By Memorial weekend, they had me, you know, I think it was the week of Memorial weekend. I was getting MRIs and stuff. So I go to the hospital, and it spreads up from my feet, up my legs. It goes into my fingers, my hands, and just starts crawling throughout my body, that I have this numbness that it's like, the way I can explain it is like, you know, when you like freshly shave your legs and you put jeans on, how it feels kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have that sensation. And that's spread throughout my body to the point where I'm, you know, going to the hospital and they're like, oh, you're just having a panic attack. And I'm like, they give me fluid. They're like, you're not dehydrated. Let's give you fluid. I'm like, but you just said I wasn't dehydrated. Why are we giving fluid? No Xanax, no nothing, you know, nothing to potentially, you know, rule out a panic attack. Send me home. Go follow up with the neurologist. So I ended up finding one. And I feel like they could hear the panic in my voice when I called him. Like, listen, I'm 26 years old. I can't feel my body. This is insane. You know, COVID is now at its peak. So everyone's really weird. Oh, you need a referral. You need this. And you're like, I don't know what else to tell you. Like, so finally got MRIs done, called him, or he called after Memorial weekend. So we were like, oh, it's kind of good. We didn't hear back, you know? And no, he was like, I said, you know, I'm starting to lose, it feels like I was wearing like a corset, and I was like starting to lose function going to the bathroom and stuff like that. And he was like, you need to admit yourself immediately. So I did. And they put me on steroids, and I started to get some feeling back. And after 4 days in the hospital, mind you, no one's allowed to be with me. You know, you're terrified to even be in a hospital. And so he walks in and he's like, so blunt, like no emotion. Like, I don't know how I could never do what you guys do, because I'm too emotional. Same with doctors. Like, but he walks in and he's like, yeah, so you have MS. And I was like, excuse me. Now, my family and I are all on the same page, and they're like, okay, as long as it's not, you know, no tumors or cancer, like, we got this. We got this. Mm-hmm. So he comes in and I was like, but no tumors or cancer. And he's like, no, but you have MS. And I'm like, but like, we're sure of like that. And he was like, yeah. So they found lesions throughout my brain and spine. For people who don't know what MS is, it's, you know, a disease that it attacks your immune system, and it eats away at like the protective covering of the nerves. And so it causes damage and disrupts the communication between your brain and body. So where my attack was like my sensory nerves. So I had lesions, the most active were like C2 and 3, and it's your sensory nerves. So that's why my body started to go numb. And he was like, that's where the active ones are, but we found old ones. So it looks like you've had two prior attacks. So here I am being like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, my feet were numb a year and a half ago. And so it just is kind of crazy how, yeah, you just dismiss it and you don't listen to your body until it's, I don't want to say it's too late, because it's not, but I mean, I still don't, this is what, diagnosis in May, I still don't have full feeling back in my hands yet. So it is coming up on a year.
With your hands
full. I know. Yeah. And that was the scariest part. I'm like, I mean, there's only been one time it affected me at work that I had to like, it was so sad. I don't know, you know, if it was a stressful night. I didn't feel like I was stressed, but I started like losing control over my tweezers. And I finally ended up losing enough control that I dropped them. And it was like, here I am just like, you know, the girl's eyes are closed and I'm just like, tears are just streaming down into my mask. And I'm like, damn it, this is happening. And my employee was so sweet. And I just looked at her and she could see. And I, you know, was like, hold on. And I went behind the wall and she's like, it's okay. It's okay. And I'm sitting there with like ice packs in my hands, just sobbing, being like, I didn't ask for this. Like, I don't want this. Like, she's like, I'll take care of it. I'll finish her off. And I was like, just comp her and tell her I'm sorry. And I hadn't seen her in so long, and I don't know if she knew what was going on. So I like felt, I don't know, I'm apologizing and I'm like, why am I apologizing for this? Like, right. I can't even control this. So,
right.
So yeah, it's just about now is just trying to, I feel like this has really made me step back and be like, no, you got to take care of yourself. Like, you know, these people went 104 days without you. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
So like when I need to take care of myself, that's what I'm going to put first from now on, because, you know, can't really do anything else in the situation. I can't control the situation that I'm in. So.
And I think the fact that you're sharing your story, I think is so important and also going to be so helpful for so many people, because there's a lot of, you know, medical stuff that we don't have control over. And it's, you know, and I know you said that it just feels like very vulnerable, like talking about all of this. And how did you kind of process through that since then? How have you dealt with it?
Well, and that was a hard part, because I think like when the pandemic hit, it was like, okay, well, what can I do to still have some sort of income coming in? And we have, you know, the retail. So I was like, okay, well, this is just like dead stock money spent on the shelves. Like, let's do this. And, I feel like prior to all of the medical stuff, like I was hustling so hard to try and push and make money that way, that once all of the medical stuff was over, I came home and, you know, they were so quick to announce like, okay, and you guys can go back to work next week. And I'm like, wait, I'm like, messaging people for sanitizer and like trying to figure out, like, I'm like, does anyone have alcohol? And like, you know, so
there's still no toilet paper, no paper towels. Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, restart this shit. And then let's add on, you now have a chronic autoimmune illness as well. So you getting sick with COVID is a terrifying, whole other fucking thing, right?
Terrifying. So, you know, at this point, my hands aren't even still back to where I didn't know if I was going to be able to work. I didn't know, you know, I was just so terrified. And, but then you go into that boss mode again, where you're like, okay, but screw it. You got to get this done. We got to get this open. So I feel like I didn't have time to process it. And, I finally felt like, you know, going back to work and everything in my personal life going on. And, you know, now on top of trying to work during a global pandemic and not get sick, I'm moving, I'm dealing with, you know, lawyers and divorce stuff. And, So I didn't have time to process. And I just recently, I finally was like, okay, you're spiraling. You need to take a step back and you need to take care of yourself. So January, I ended up, it was the longest time. It was like 3.5 weeks I took off of work, and I just went back to work this past Friday. Highly recommend. I forgot what it's like, you know, and I was like, I know I'm taking a chance traveling, but I need to get the fuck out of here. I can't do it. Like, I felt like I couldn't breathe, and it was so amazing. And I was like, oh yeah, that's why we would take a vacation every 6 months. Like, I thought we were just doing it to have fun, but I'm like, oh no, I need this. So yeah, I went to Turks and Caicos and just soaked up the sun, read books, and just didn't worry about anything. And I came back and I'm like talking to my dad. I'm like, yeah, I'm so zen now. I'm just like, I can't even let things bother me that I can't control and this and that. And he's like, well, when do you go back to work? And I'm like, tomorrow. And he's like, yeah, call me after work. We'll see how long this lasts. I'm like, okay. So no, I do. You do. I'm so high strung all the time. And I'm really trying to take a step back and be like, can you control this? You know, do you need to be worrying about this? What are you actually able to do to fix something? Or, you know what I mean? And it's just, it feels like empowering. I'm like, yes, loving it. I'm like, you know, unless there's a super big issue, I'm just letting everyone kind of do their thing. And I think it helps my employees too, because it's like, they got to a point where they like sat me down and were like, you need to go away. Like, you need to go away and you need to figure your shit out, because like, you being this on edge all the time isn't good for any of us, especially not you and your health. And like, you got to take time and we'll hold it down. And it was like a little intervention. And I was like, don't tempt me with a good time. So I booked it. I was like, all right, guys, I'm out. See ya. So,
wow.
So yeah. But there's this like this whole other part, right, of having a chronic illness, of that, like, you don't look like you're sick.
Yeah.
Right. And so we go into this thing of how many of millions of people have a chronic illness, have a pre-existing condition, and have a disability that we do not see.
100%.
And that people often minimize that or blow past it, right? And like, don't understand, like, what do you mean? You look fine. You don't look sick. Like, what is that part like for you?
Well, and I think that is super hard, because it's like, yeah, you know, before we returned to work, I did send out an email, you know, just kind of letting everyone know that, you know, I might not be as fast as I used to be, or I might not be, you know, my detail might not be as good. And I think that for my clientele who really does follow everything, you know, they're very understanding about it. But it's like, here I am having new clients, or like that client that, you know, it unfortunately messed with my ability to like do her eyebrows. You know, I feel like apologetic, and it's like, why am I apologizing? But you almost have to just let them know, you know, this is what's going on. And I feel like that's one thing that people don't do, is just like talk about things. And it's like, how are you going to expect someone to understand why you might not be this or that if you can't just say what's going on? And for me, it's like, I don't sugarcoat anything. So I feel like it is easier for me to talk about it, but I cannot imagine someone who's more closed off to not be able to be like, oh, I apologize because, you know, this is affecting me. But still, why am I even feeling the need to apologize? So it is hard.
I just like thought about this other part of like, right, you're also like with people all the time, like it's still fucking COVID, you're still at risk. So then you have people like come in and like aren't wearing a mask or like pulling some other fucking shit. They're like, oh my gosh, like not only do I have to deal with this as a business owner, but like I have this very real thing that's happening.
Yeah.
And sometimes part of being a boss and owning something, especially with a brick and mortar location where people like walk in and out,
yeah,
people see you as like less than human or some shit.
Oh yeah. I say I had to recently, I've gotten to a point where it's like, if I want to do this forever, I fucking love my job. I love it. And I am so blessed to have fallen into something that I didn't even know I was good at. And I want to do it for as long as I'm able to. And I feel like I've gotten to a point where it's like, I've taken so much shit for the last 4 years that like, I mean, I remember my first year being alone. It was the holiday season. I had this grown ass woman stomping up and down the street. Don't go to the brow bar, because she was late to her appointment. And I couldn't see her. And I was like, I can take you at this time. Well, no, you know, Sarah has ballet. And I'm like, well, then maybe you shouldn't have been late. Like, but at this time, I don't have the nerve to say that. I'm just like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to keep going, you know? And, but recently there was someone who was just, yeah, being nasty to me. And I was just like, listen, I don't think we're a good fit. I don't think you're ever happy. I don't know if it's just me, but like, I can't do this. Like, just because I have a sign over my door does not mean that. And I think it's a very generic name, so people don't understand that it's just a, you know, I feel like I'm like stuck at 23 because that's when I opened. You know, just 27-year-old girl just doing eyebrows, you know? And so for me, it's hard, but I feel like I finally have been able to take a stand and be like, I'm not going to let you, you know, I don't know what the word, like,
shit I don't on need, me?
Yeah. Well,
fucking
yeah.
Walk all over me, you fucks.
Yeah. I'm like, exactly. Like, as if I'm just like a servant to you. It's like, no, do you appreciate what you're getting done? Do you appreciate, you know what I mean? And so finally, I feel like I've been able to take a stand and be like, yeah, I don't need you as a client. I would rather have someone who appreciates me. And Because there's a sign over my door, like, I can also say that to you. And I don't need the negativity, and I want it to be fun. And, you know, I just, you got to take a stand and just be like, yep, not taking your shit today, Betty.
Well, there's this like a part of like also like the self-advocacy and the boundaries you learn when you live with a chronic illness, right? Because no one, you have to like show up with your shit prepared. Like when you go to doctor's appointments, especially right now during COVID, no one's coming with you. So they go home and give you directions of shit you have to do at home. Like these are skills that we sometimes don't get in life until you go through something like what you're doing.
Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Setting boundaries too is the thing that you do have control over, right? Like you can set boundaries with your customers. You can set boundaries for yourself. Like, okay, I need to stop working at this time and I need to take care of myself. And as a business owner, like, it's hard to set boundaries for yourself. Yeah. They are not in place for you. And no. So you have to consciously set them for yourself. If you're working for someone else, they tell you when to work, you go home, hopefully you can leave it at work. Yep. But when you own a business, you consciously have to set boundaries for yourself. And it sounds like you've really been on this journey of, okay, where do I have to set these boundaries for myself so that I can take care of me?
Yep. First of all, Jen, like, your voice is like so calming. You should be like,
I know.
I'm like over here, like,
thank you so much.
Shouldn't she read? I know. Well, okay. Like me, I have like the worst vocal fry too. Jen should like read children's books, like live.
I know.
That is so nice. Thank you. When we were in grad school, I would never participate just because that's how I am. But when I would, my therapist voice would just come on because also I was just so quiet.
Yes.
It is. It's so funny. Well, even listening to your episodes, it's like so funny because when you do chime in, you're like, okay, keep talking. That's what I said to Emily. I was like, can I drop the F-bomb? And she's like, do you listen? And I'm like, yes, you do drop the F-bomb. Yes, I am aware. Yep, got it. Yep. It's over there just doing yoga or something. Yeah.
Don't you just want her to like scratch your head and rub your back and like sing to you?
Guys, that's my next business venture. It'll be that. And the robotic
hands.
Arm.
Okay.
The robot arms. I think one of those might be more lucrative than the other.
The scratching the head the voice. Right?
That one.
Of course. I could integrate them.
Oh, yeah. There we go. I can move brows while you're, yep.
And okay. I can make, okay, sorry.
Did wait, well, alternative idea. No, I like it. This is a better topic anyway. Alternative idea. We do an OnlyFans that's actually just Jen with her soothing voice.
Oof, I love that.
I feel like that could get weird though real quick.
No. We won't even have a visual. It'll just be an OnlyFans for you talking.
Oh,
people
cool.
can just request what they want you to say. Like,
okay, you know what I, you
wipe
know what
my
I
nose.
Can't, you know what I... God, you know what I can't stand.
It'll be a fetish. It'll be a fetish only.
That's why I was like, yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to handle that. But you know what I can't stand is ASMR. People love it.
Tara, you would love it.
I can't stand it, but I don't know why. It just like it makes like I cringe.
Get
it.
Yeah. And
do you like it?
No.
No,
it just, it's so weird to me. And but that's the thing. It's like people are into all different things. Okay. And I feel like I'm going to be getting back on the dating scene after I just like get my shit together, you know. I do eventually, you know, hope to be back out there. And I'm like, I can't even, I feel like the fetishes and all of that. And it's like, I am so open-minded, but like, give me like time to like get to know you before you like just like plot twist, dump all your fetishes on me. And I'm like,
totally.
Oh, okay, here we go.
And you know what? People can have a fetish about anything.
Yeah. Anything, right?
Literally.
You're not going to like yuck someone's yum, but you're like, I might need like I'm a little slow to warm, right? Like get me in the right mood and maybe I'll be in time trying that.
Yeah.
But actually, Tara, that brings up a really interesting thing. So how do you feel about dating when it comes to having MS? Like what are your feelings around that? I mean, you're a pretty open person in general.
Yeah.
But there's parts of MS that aren't very sexy.
Like cathetering myself, maybe?
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So it's crazy because I feel like the more, as far as rewind boundaries, I have realized that they are the core of any relationship, mm-hmm. whether it be, you know, a significant other or a friend. And I feel like that's even in my business has been very hard because it's like, I do get so close with my girls. Like we are best friends, but then there's a boundary where it's like, you know, but when we walk in these doors, I'm the boss, but I love you to the end of my days. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but as far as getting back on the dating scene and having it, wait, were we talking about the cathetering?
Yeah.
Okay, so, MS.
I think people don't actually even know what MS is, right?
Yeah.
And they don't know that there are certain parts, like, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that I think is also why it's so hard to diagnose. And it's been so great to be able to be vocal and talk to my clients and to my followers about it, because I think you have to think your spinal cord, I mean, it controls everything, your brain, it controls everything. So being that there's three places that MS will attack, and it's your ocular nerve. So your eyes, which, when I was 22, I lost my vision while driving for about, it was a few days. And they, when I got picked up on the side of the highway, he was like, did you forget to put your contacts in? I'm like, sir, I'm wearing my fucking glasses. Like, take me to the hospital. I can't see, bro. Like, my car's on the side of the highway. You think I'm just doing this for fun? So it'll attack your ocular nerve, your brain, or your spinal cord. So you have to think those things control everything. So everyone's symptoms are so different. There's only one client that I have, and it's been so cool and also really scary that all of these people have come out of the woodworks and been like, I have it too. And it's like, holy shit, I've been doing your brows and I had no idea, or whatever the case may be. And I've also now had clients that are like, oh, my arm went numb. And hearing your story, I actually, you know, went to the doctor and got an MRI. And it's like, I hope to help people, because I think we do dismiss these things just because life gets busy or you don't feel like dealing with it. And our healthcare system fucking sucks. And like, you know what I mean? So yeah, a global pandemic. And then I'm just getting like MRIs and infusions and I have to pay for my catheters. Like, let's just.
And it's all, and honestly, in America, it's so cheap, right? It's so cost effective, right? Yeah. There's reasonable rates.
I know. I'm like,
especially when you're a business owner and you buy your fucking insurance.
Thank you. Oh my God. The one prick of marriage, but yeah.
Oh, yes. And then get divorced, and there goes half your insurance. Right? Yeah. It gets a whole fucking clusterfuck. Affects everything.
Yeah. So I was constantly having UTIs, and they got like more severe, like almost monthly, leading up to my MS. And here I went to, they kept saying to go to a urologist, and I'm like, what do you want me to do? Like, drink more water? Like, come on, what could really be going on? And finally, recently went to the urologist, and it is so terrifying. You walk in this room and like, it looks like almost like a wheelchair lifted, but kind of like a toilet, but like almost OBGYN style, like it was so insane. And they catheter your bladder, so through your urethra, and then they go vaginally as well. And then they're like, okay, and you can pee. And you're like, no, I like can't pee if someone's in the stall next to me. Like, how do you expect me to go right now? Like, what the hell? Yeah. So they like fill you up. So I finally start peeing, and I'm like seeing the screen and this red line's like going insane. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm peeing. You know what I mean? Like, finally. And so we're all finished, and she's like, I'm like, yeah, I'm done. And she was like done. Like, you can't go anymore. And I'm like, no. So apparently your bladder can hold like up to, I think it's like, it should be around like, it can be 900 to 1,000, whatever the
CCs.
There we go. Are you a urologist too?
I have a lot of medical professionals in my family.
There you go. So CCs.
They're like, whenever they have to like pee in the car, they're like, oh, I've filled up like a whole bottle of like, I don't know how many CCs, but they always use CCs. I don't know what they're talking about. Okay. That was my chime in. Okay. Bye-bye.
No, thank you though. Thank you. So
they just think they're pissing in a bottle and not on the side of the road.
Yeah, like, I don't know where they're going or what's happening.
They like, no, by the stream, the pressure. They're like, ah, that was about so many CCs.
Right.
No, so... I was up to 1,000, and when I peed, I still had like 320 or something left in me. And they're like, that's like what you should be peeing, or like what your bladder should be getting to. So, you know, she shows me this, and she's like, so this red line, when you pee, it should be flat.
You thought it was a good thing.
You were like, yeah.
Is going skyrocketing. And I'm like, what are you okay? So she sits down, and I'm like, oh shit, like what is this,
you know, when they're sitting down,
it ain't good. Like, getting ready, it ain't good. So she sits down, and she's like, so I'm gonna teach you how to catheter yourself. It's dangerous how much fluid you're leaving in your bladder. Your bladder, basically what's happening is when you go to pee, your bladder is what's communicating to you that, okay, I'm full, I have to pee. But when your stream starts, your urethra takes over and your bladder comes down, but your bladder just keeps fucking firing, which is why you can't pee. I mean, I've sat on the toilet for 45 minutes sometimes. Like, it's so bad. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, after sex when you're like, I have to pee, but you can't, and you just sit there and you're like, but I got to, it's going to happen. That's what it was like for me every single time I had to pee. It was like, I have to go so bad, but I can't. So they have me catheting 3 times a day. It was so funny. I'm talking to my best friend about it, and she's like, the first night I get home to do it, and I like call her and I'm like, I'm really bad with medical stuff. Like, I'm getting better because I'm getting poked and pricked all the time, but like, I get in my head. So I'm sitting here and I'm like, all right, I'm lightheaded. Like, now I'm living alone. So if you hear a thump, like, you have to call someone. I've passed out. I don't know if I can do this. So she's like, come on, Tara. Like, you wear tampons all the time. Just stick it in. I'm like, wait, no, it's a different hole. She's like, what do you know? And I'm like, no, like, your vagina is where you have sex and where your period comes from. And then you have like a pee hole. Like, I'm like,
You were like teaching her like anatomy.
Yeah, like, and then I'm not kidding. I'm like, we're like Googling pictures and stuff, and I'm like showing her where I have to, and the picture was like not accurate to like placement, I don't think. So then we're all sorts of confused. So I'm sitting there and I'm trying to do it, and I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe this. So it's not going in, and I'm like hitting my bone, and I'm like, what the fuck? Here I'm like trying to shove this thing in my clit. Like, I'm like, I don't know why it's not going in. Oh my God. I was like, I'm done. And she was like, honestly, just put it down, rest, get a fresh set of eyes. You can do it tomorrow. It'll be fine.
Give yourself a break.
Yeah. So I did. And yeah, it really is now just like as easy as putting in a tampon. Anyone needs catheter, I got you. I am a nurse now. We're thriving.
Like, we're sitting here laughing about this, right? But it's like,
you have to laugh.
You have to find some way to handle it, like when you have a chronic illness. But there's this other part of like, holy fuck. I think especially for women, we're taught so little about our bodies. There is like, even like just so many of us, I have never spoken to someone who's never had a negative interaction with a doctor or nurse. Yep. Like, all of us have so much trauma from medical shit. Yeah. That you're like, oh my gosh, like, I'm sitting here trying to take care of myself in this way.
Like, I don't even know what
hope anybody holds.
Yes.
I do. They need to.
Emily Douglas.
Like, oh my God. She's like, yep, definitely don't have that. And I'm like, bitch, yes, you do. Like, she's like, well, how come my tampon always gets wet when I pee? And I'm like, because it's right next to that hole. What do you mean? Oh my God.
I love her. Know. So, but right, but like, this is all the stuff, right? So then you sit here and you're like, oh, like, and I also, I'm single. Like, this is also, when this episode comes out, the last week's episode is, right, for people who are listening, it was about, is about long-term singleton, right? So if you listen to last week's episode with Mary Chan about singleton, it's one of the things is like, there's certain stuff where it'd be nice to have a partner.
100%.
It would be nice to have someone else there to go through something like this that's so scary. I mean, talk about the level of resiliency you have to have this experience, right?
And then, through it.
Okay, and then I'll date. And what's that like to
have? Yeah, whatever, we like have sex and I'm like, hold on, be right back. I gotta go catheter myself. So like, what?
Maybe you might.
Right.
The more people we have that are like, oh, but like the more people we have that are that honest and that authentic, then this isn't this weird, scary talked about hushed way. We want people talking about things more so men can get the fuck over it, whether it's a period or catheter or whatever it is.
Or like, if you have like IBS or
Crohn's. Anything, or, anything else that can affect our lives.
Absolutely.
100%. And I feel like that is, but at that point, I look at that, it's like, if you are weird about it and can't do it and can't talk about it or can't be there for me emotionally, which is unfortunately, I felt like, you know, I was hoping. So 2 days prior to my diagnosis, I filed for a divorce. So now after getting out of the hospital, I was kind of under the impression that it was going to be like, no, fuck this. We're staying together. I'm going to take care of you. My trigger word now is wheelchair. So just to let you know. It's like at any fucking time they're like, oh, you might end up in a wheelchair, and you're like, can you stop? Like, why do you have to, you know?
Yeah,
the medicine has been, it has evolved so much from people that are in their 50s and 60s with MS right now. Like, I can't even look that up because
also like what an ableistic thing for that to be the threat to, right? Like, that's like ableism for them to be like, well, you could, right? Okay, well, if I do, we're gonna cross that road and I'm gonna find out how to make it the most badass wheelchair ever, right?
But there's also, better be gold.
Yes, right. Like, but it also goes to like how much ableism there is in our medical field as well.
When he came in to tell me that I had MS, and I was like, okay, can you like explain? And he was like, well, it's like, think of a phone charger, the white part of the phone charger, you start breaking that off and it exposes your nerves. And I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. So like, what's the future looking like? Like, what happens from here? Where do you go? And he was like, well, like, imagine that your spinal cord is a dartboard, and then the dart is your tack. Close your eyes and throw it and hope to God it doesn't land on something that causes paralysis.
No.
That is how he fucking explained it to me. And I was just like, you don't want to softball that at all? Nothing?
You're like, your bedside manner is fabulous. Thank you.
Wow. Like, really. Also, you know, like having to go to the doctor just by yourself in general because of COVID, and then just like having a stranger who's telling you this in this like very specific way. I think there should be more training on or like bedside manner.
Yeah, like, or like brief a woman.
Yes.
Who has, you know, brief a woman with maybe your vocal, like, you know, the
mine. Yes. I'll just stand. I could stand behind someone.
Yes. And you just like say it.
And I'll like, say it. And they could just move their mouth.
Yep. Okay.
But it is, but it's also like, it's like, oh, that's the worst that's going to happen, right? Well, it also might be you hit a point where a wheelchair would be a lovely gift. You don't have to stand anymore, right? If it was truly better for your quality of life, you know, sitting here is talking is like, how do you have a quality of fucking life? And for a long time, it was basically like, oh, you're not healthy, you don't have one. Well, that's not bullshit. People live every fucking day with lots of difficulties. So how do you fucking thrive in dating, in business owning, in fucking everything else, like the badass bitch that you are?
And that's
the discovery that we're at.
Yeah. So just trying to stay calm and, you know,
never get stressed out again.
I know. You like come and I'm like just like high all the time. I'm like, I don't care about anything, sis. Take those earrings, girl.
Also the pressure. I mean, because I hear this a lot too from, I talk to a lot of clients about this. Like when you have a chronic illness and stress is something that affects it, the pressure to not feel stressed.
It's stressful.
Increases the stress. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, and that's like something stressful. Like for when you're going through fertility stuff, they're like, well, don't get stressed out. It's not going to help your fertility. You're like, okay. Okay.
Yes, thanks. And now every time I feel stress, I'm going to get stressed about the fact that I'm stressed and it's going to be a cycle.
Yep. And then, you know, add everything else that was going on and is still going on in the world. And you're like, I can't even turn on the TV anymore. Like, I'm just like, ignorance honestly is bliss in this sense.
Yes.
Like,
I'm just... And that's a boundary.
Sometimes too much information is too much information, right? Like, do we need to know everything? But I mean, Tara, we could talk to you forever. I hate that we have to end the episode, but I'm wondering if we could end with, it seems like one of the things that I got really from your story is the importance of believing yourself, that your body knew there was something wrong, even if doctors weren't listening to it, even if other people were minimizing it. And I'm wondering, what advice would you have? What would you want to leave some listeners with?
Listen to your body, be in tune with your body. You are your own advocate 100% and if they're not listening, go to someone else. And you are, that's at the end of the day, it's like no one knows your body more than you do and you have to listen to it. And, you know, there's definitely a fine line between listening to it and being a total hypochondriac, but you know, you have to just stay in tune and stay in touch and be adamant about getting help and you know, seeking it and doing it yourself.
I love that.
Yeah.
Amazing. All right, thank you so much.
If you want to get your brows done by the best in the game, if every person who works there is fucking fabulous, and nails and whatever else you guys are doing right now, no facials, but you know, it's fine. I've been having still coming.
You're like, it's fine.
Situation.
I'm fine.
I'm still not okay with it. It's fine. The Brow Bar in Westchester, Brows by Tara. We're going to link all of your stuff on our social media.
Yeah.
thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much, Tara.
It's such a big deal to talk about something like this. Thank you for lending some of your day to us to be open and be vulnerable and tell your story.
I love you guys. Thank you.
We love you, Tara.
We love you. Thank you.
And then
so
hopefully
much.
We can do a podcast one day when I can actually see you in person and we can, like, you know, cheers some drinks and stuff.
Yes.
Can't wait
we
for that.
We would love it.
All right.
We would love it.
We'll get there.
You guys stay helping everyone. I think what you guys are doing is absolutely amazing. So keep talking and stay fabulous.
Thank you so much.
I love you guys.
If this episode related to you or someone you might know, make sure to send it over. You can always rate, review, and subscribe. And we'll see you next week on Shrink Chicks.